Blog Talk Radio.
Big Pimpin', baby. That's right. Big Pimpin', spinning cheese. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts, gonna freeze them. First time they fucked, I'm breathing. Talk about what's the reason. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama. Better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them, till I need the wood, till I need to beat it up, then it's beef, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it, cooking the truck. Many chicks wanna put jig a piston cup, divorce them and split his buck. Just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing, never happen, I'll be forever macking. Hard codes and assassins, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride. Big Southern rap here from Sario. Coming straight about the black barrio. Make the meal if I'm sorry. What? Now sit back and beat my scenario. Oops, my bad, that's my scenario. No, I can't f***ing scare it. What? Now every time, every place, everywhere we go. Well, stop pointing and say, there he go. Now you know we carry more in a little bit. We don't pull it out. And if you catch a lick when I spit, then it won't be a little hit. Go read a book, you illiterate son of a thief. Step up your vocab. Don't be surprised. With me and you see it coming down on your slab. Living gets so fabulous, so mad you just can't take it. But you hate now, then you wait while I get your hip butt naked. Just break it. You gotta pay like you ain't wet with two pairs of clothes on. I get the ass to the back as a flash to the track. Timberland, let me spit my pros on. Post it up in the pro zone. That's the track that we breaking these zones. Hate the track that we flow zone. Get hot to start popping like ozone. We keep on front like we really don't get no bigger, man. Don't trip, let's just get sold on the flip and blow.
Big pimpin',
bigger man,
we be big pimpin', spendin' cheese. We be big pimpin' on BLADs. We be big pimpin' down in PAT. It's just that jigger man, PMC and BUNB. Cause we be big pimpin', spendin' cheese. And we be big pimpin' on BLADs.
In my club, call it buck. Everybody wanna ball. Call it ball at the mall. You see buck, watch them fall. With y'all, if I wasn't rapping, baby, I would baby ride Mercedes coming down to sipping daily. No rest.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for joining us, everyone.
All right.
Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Everyone.
I'm glad you played Jay-Z in the beginning. That's one of my favorite Jay-Z songs.
That was a busy.
Do you want to make out with Jay-Z? Is that what you said?
No, it's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah. It's a fucking fantastic song. Big pimping, motherfuckers. Even Mickey's big pimping.
Yeah.
Michael Chilella, how are you, Michael Chilella? How are you doing? How is everyone?
Chihuahua.
Michael. Michael, how are you feeling, Michael?
Stop it.
What's going on?
Stop it. Okay. Stop it. Okay.
Is it you? Is that your niece in the background or something?
No. But someone.
I see.
Oh.
Is that
one of your victims?
Yeah.
Are you live on the air while you with a kidnapped victim?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. So,
okay, so I'm guessing that what did you say, Chris?
You guys watch football today?
Nope, I didn't, because I don't watch that.
Jacksonville finally won a game.
Yeah, congratulations.
They beat the Titans.
That may be actually the least interesting thing that's ever been said on the show.
No, they're the Jets. I mean, they won their first game. They were winless until now.
Yes, because they're literally like the worst team in the league, and they finally
won. Worst team in the league.
In what league? Where is there a league that has Jacksonville in it?
NFL, I'm saying, in the league. The worst.
Is the Buccaneers in it?
Well, the Buccaneers are now the worst because they're winless. Jacksonville has at least a win.
What are the Jacksonville? What are they?
The Barry? Jaguars.
Well, which one of you guys is a kindergarten in the background?
That's me.
It's not me this time.
What are the Jacksonville? I forget.
Jacksonville Jaguars. And they were
the worst.
The Jaguar. The Jacksonville Jaguar. Okay, we're gonna skip this because we actually have things to talk about. Believe it or not.
Okay.
I'm sure none of you.
I had read this and I wanted to share with you guys.
Speak up.
You guys know the Koch brothers, correct?
Koch brothers, yes.
They have devised a way to undermine the Affordable Health Care Act by going across the country to Keggers and sponsoring them.
What?
Buying frat houses, beer and stuff, and funding their parties.
I was not aware of this.
It's like, kids, you don't need health insurance. Just drink more beer.
Pretty much.
Like, you don't need to get insurance.
That does
Fuck
not surprise
that.
Me. They have been behind every regressive movement that's happened in this country in the last, like, 10 to 20 years. The Tea Party was entirely founded by their money. The government shutdown was entirely engineered by them. They've just, like, everything that's happening is, I mean, they're very powerful and they're very rich. And they don't
speaking
give
of
a fuck.
Speaking of the
They're
shutdown,
almost nihilistic.
Did Ted Cruz on Jay Leno the other night?
Really?
Yes, he
was.
Yeah.
How'd that go? What was that like?
Well,
that just goes to prove to me that Jay Leno is a fucking nothing piece of shit. I'm sure there were no serious questions. I'm sure Jay Leno's chin was dented with Ted Cruz's balls.
He did try a little bit, but it was not exactly hard-hitting. But he did kind of say, like, hey, shouldn't you guys, instead of doing the shutdown, shouldn't you have tried to, you know, do this and that? But it was not a very serious interview.
No, of course not, because Jay Leno was still making money, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz kept defending the Tea Party as, you know, people who are standing up tyranny where the established Republicans are squishes. You know what I mean? He uses such, you know, professional terminology to describe his fellow Republicans. But, you know, he said the reason why the government shut down or that whole thing didn't go through is because the Republicans in the House passed the bill. I'm like, well, you know, it's already law. You know, you can't keep fighting something that's already there. You know, pick another platform. Why don't you guys go on the budget? You guys are supposed to be fiscally conservative. Why don't you take the fight about the budget and the deficit, things like that?
Well, that's always a bunch of bullshit because they don't. You know,
he tried to invoke Reagan too. He tried to invoke Reagan. Now Reagan would have been kicked out. If Reagan was relevant today in the Tea Party, he would have been kicked out a long time ago. Because Reagan was, even though he was a piece of shit. You know, he was for welfare reform and, you know, universal health care, too. You know, this whole, you know, affordable health care.
And pretty much rolling back everything, every single thing that was put out from Roosevelt's New Deal. That was Reagan's. Reagan hated the New Deal. Reagan wanted to peel back everything, all of that good stuff.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense why these Tea Parties keep invoking Reagan, because if Reagan was here, he wouldn't be part of the Tea Party.
I don't know. You know what, though? I have to say that I think the Tea Party movement was partially founded from Reagan, because Reagan was very, Reagan loved to talk about Christianity also. I haven't forgotten that.
I don't think
Reagan
he would agree with it, but he put it in motion.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he would jibe with the current Tea Party mentality, but it would, there's definitely a lot of Reagan in the Tea Party. He was very anti-poor people. He was very Christian conservative. You know, he wasn't as God invoking as W. Bush was, but he was definitely up there.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there was like they worked together too. The government, you know, he had a majority Democrat Congress, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they worked together to get shit done. Even though they were in opposition with a lot of stuff he said,
yeah,
they
shit.
Did compromise.
Lots of bad shit. They worked together to get done. Lots of bad stuff.
Yeah. But he can't have that now. You know, Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House at the time, and he was very liberal, Democrat, socially liberal. But whatever. When are we ever going to get to talking about Ricky? When are we going to get to talking about
who?
Incognito? Or, you know, the Incognito guy.
I was reading about that. He apologized for, you know, he said it was out of love and that, you know, he wasn't racist because it was Chain Brothers. And actually, apparently texts were sent from Martin to you guys' real name is Incognito? That's great. I want that name.
Yeah.
Just by having the name Incognito, that makes you cognito.
Right, exactly.
I got it.
Yeah, I get it, too.
But yeah, he, you know, apparently Martin doesn't blame him in particular for who the fuck knows. I don't know. I think the whole thing is gay.
I mean, there was also,
everybody's talking about the NFL culture. What do you expect? Sports have been regarded as ultra masculine for years. That's not like now there's a problem with the fucking with the culture revolving around the NFL. Get the fuck out of here.
No, it's just shedding light on something that, you know, because, I mean, it's not nothing new, like you said, but it's just, it's all under the microscope at this moment in time.
I don't have a problem with excess, well, not excess, but ultra or, you know, blatant masculinity. I don't have a problem with that, but it has its time and its place. And I feel that one of the reasons that I personally have stayed away from sports is because of that insane masculine competition thing that I just find really distasteful and stupid. Like, okay, you can throw a ball farther than anyone else, but that's not helping anyone. Like, that's not, you're not helping the world by throwing a football really far.
He's helping my world.
Amen, Christy.
Okay. But no, I mean, apparently Incognito was an asshole before the NFL because he had this kind of behavior when he was playing college football.
See, that's what I was going to say. It's one of those things that's funny because, I mean, I've heard stories about him for years, but like you said, it kind of gets swept under the rug just because of the whole culture of it. Like people are just like, oh, well, that's, you know, it's a boys will be boys type of situation and nobody like kind of looks twice at it. But yeah, he's been like this forever.
Yeah, he's been an asshole for years. So,
right.
You know, I think he should be penalized. I think the NFL should make an example out of him and, you know, put across the board that this kind of behavior is unacceptable.
But see, it's weird, too,
when they talk to a bunch of teammates
about it, the teammates definitely seemed to side with Incognito over Martin. Like, they were kind of treating Martin like he wasn't, shall we say,
he's a little bitch.
Tough enough.
No, they're treating him like he's a little bitch. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, to me, the whole thing is, like, how are you going to emasculate the NFL. It's not, it's completely, I mean, until you start having pituitary giants that are females that can keep up with this kind of thing, like, it's never going to be, I mean, you know, NFL and shit like that, it's always going to be a masculine sport because, you know, men are the ones that manage to gain to be upwards of 300 pounds and still able to run across a field. You know, if we had some women like that that could keep up with that shit, I would love to see that.
Me too.
Well, I mean,
I mean, I don't really want to see women that look like that because that's not really in women, but.
I don't want to see juiced up women playing football. It's bad enough the underwear league is awful. You know, we don't need that.
How do you emasculate the NFL without integrating it, gender-wise? Don't be competitive.
Nice.
Don't be manly.
No, it's not don't be manly. It's don't be, you know, there's a difference between, you know, fostering a team spirit, you know, toughening someone up on mental toughness so they don't choke on third down, you know what I mean? Versus, like, tearing someone down, you know,
right.
Calling them, hey, you fucking half nigger, you know, or making them pick up a tab on a $30,000 meal. That's not helping the team. That's hurting the team. You know what
right.
I mean? There's a way to lift someone up, still be masculine, and not,
yeah, like
you know.
Bust someone's shop and not be a, you know, I'm not going to say it. But
yeah, but I mean that particular, let me ask, though, is that particular set of circumstances that happened, is that typical among the, you know, the bravado and harassment, or is that just an isolated case where
I think he kind of took it and ran with it. I don't think people go to that extremes on a regular basis. I mean, there is, like, hazing and, like, you know, that kind of
situation. Yeah, there is.
I don't think it's, like Chris said, I don't think it's, you know, paying $30,000 on a tab, and I don't think it's, you know, calling people names and saying you're going to do this to your family member, and you know.
But I also know for a fact that hazing isn't, you know, the whole initiation thing. That's not just a male issue. I mean,
right.
there's tons of videos, unfortunately, on YouTube of, you know, groups of girls doing that to you know girls that are new to a school. You know,
yeah,
female
saying,
gang
it's
members,
like a
athlete
thing. It's like fraternities and sororities and stuff like that. They do crazy stuff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a point where going over the line. Also, in a lot of colleges, that kind of hazing stuff is actually, you know, illegal. If they're caught, you know, they really can suffer consequences. Same thing should be in the NFL. You really shouldn't be hazing each other.
Do you frown upon that amongst your children? Like whenever a new child is born to the other 473 of them, do they stomp your kid in or?
No, there's no hazing. It's kind of like, I want to touch the, let me hold the baby. You know, it's kind of like, like the scene from The Lion King where Fiki takes Simba to the top. They fight over who's going to take the baby to the top of the Fold them out.
I did want to mention that, but there's a couple other things that I want to get to. One, very very quickly, is when we spoke about Kanye last show, we didn't mention something that he's been throwing around a lot lately that I think is important that we address, which is he keeps talking about classism. How it's not racism anymore, which I disagree. I think racism is still alive and well. It may be muted.
Oh, my God.
But it's still very much there. And he's talking about classism.
We haven't had the conversation. We haven't explored the full conversation of racism. We just only touch on the subjects. It's just we just refuse to talk about parts of it.
Well, I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that racism is just a form of classism. It's a convenient form of classism. It's very convenient when you're trying to marginalize an entire group of people to isolate them and segregate them based on religion, race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because the bottom line is why racism exists, not just because everybody hates black people. It's helpful to classism. It's helpful to capitalism. When you have a marginalized group of people, then you can keep them marginalized by having them looked down upon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Louis, are you still there? Are you alive there, buddy?
There you are.
Wendy's philosophy is kind of, you know, from the jump, you know, we're hand in hand, you know, like racism and capitalism, you know, making money and enslaving people just kind of, you know, we're nascent together, you know, and they can't be.
Yeah, well, I mean, the slave trade wasn't created because they just felt like hurting a whole bunch of people. Part of it was cheap labor. I mean, people were enslaved because it was easy for them to bring people back and put them to work and make them do the kind of jobs that people should be getting paid a lot of money to do for virtually nothing.
All right. Mm-hmm. Two, three, four.
You know, so but the thing that I find really interesting is that Kanye West talks about classism as if he's a member anymore of a marginalized class of people.
Mm-hmm. At all.
No.
I mean, this is a man who is going to be marrying Kim Kardashian. They don't spend any time around any people that consider themselves marginalized unless they're being served by them.
Mm.
They don't spend any time around people, even and, you know, all of us, I consider, you know, somewhat middle class. We're not, we may be living in wage slavery and somewhat abject poverty, but we're, you know, we all have televisions in our houses. We all have heat for the most part. You know,
yeah, I remember hearing a story where the average poor person lives better than, you know, kings and queens from up 100 years ago, or even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, like, even poor people have the internet now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Like, I have the internet, and I'm poor as a motherfucker.
I can only
afford
the
internet.
You know,
Christy has the internet again, and she's got 400-plus kids.
Yeah, seriously.
but my point is, like, Kanye West keeps tossing this classism thing around, and it's not just one interview. Like, pretty much every interview he's been doing on this weird tour that he's on, I guess, to promote his marriage, he's mentioned classism. And he was never from, he may have spent some time in the ghetto in Chicago, but he was a middle class kid. He's not really, he may have experienced racism, you know, as of, because most black people, even middle class black people, will experience racism of some kind, whether it's from a cop pulling them over or just some kind of bullshit. But Kanye West is not among, and him and his wife, they're not among the marginalized populace at all.
No.
Not anymore.
No. I mean, even when he said his dad was in the military, that's automatic middle class, and he said his mother was a teacher. So, you know, with their combined incomes, they were probably living fairly decent.
Yeah, how many black kids in the ghetto do you know that spent the summer in China?
Not me. I spent the summer in South Carolina.
I stayed right in
the
Bronx.
You actually spent a few years in Japan, so you don't count.
But that was after I was, like, out of high school and out of, you know, married for a while.
I know.
Did you learn Japanese while you're out there?
Did I what?
Learning Japanese?
Yeah.
I learned, do you know English, and one more beer.
Let's see.
And please, officer, don't arrest me. That was standard also.
No, I didn't say that. I just ran. They don't talk. They just beat you with sticks.
I don't watch this guy all that often at all, but you guys have heard of Anthony Bourdain?
Yes.
Who hasn't heard of Anthony Bourdain at this point, man? No Reservations, awesome show.
So he's got this thing on CNN now where he goes the same exact shit, but he went to Tokyo, and I never had any desire to go to Japan or Asia in general. He went to this show that seemed like the most amazing show, and he says he's the best show he's ever seen in his life. But robot.
I can barely hear you over the screaming kids in the background.
Sorry.
The show is in like a nightclub, and it has robots on like bicycles, girls
what?
On tanks. It's like the most ridiculous, crazy Japanese, and it's just like it's like a room, yet these things parade across it, and they just stream. It's a very cool episode.
There are robots riding Japanese girls?
Yeah, whatever you can imagine it had. It had lights, and it was fucking crazy, and girls running around not like naked or anything, but just running around the crowd, and then more robots, and tanks that were completely, like, covered in LED lights in different colors. It was amazing.
That sounds like a Daft Punk
pretty awesome.
Video come to life.
It is. It was like Tron. It was awesome.
Japan was awesome.
Yeah, man, Japan. Really? You never had any desire to go to Japan? Some of the landscapes out there are like among the most beautiful in the world. Like all the, their agriculture mixed with architecture is like mathematically perfect, dude. Have you not seen some of the, like the chef rice fields and shit that they made?
Really? That's nice.
They do it
like a multi-tier.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. I never really know.
And
like
their
really
gardening skills. I mean, it's fucking gorgeous out there. I would love to go to an Asian country.
Hey, listen, I'll meet you there for a couple days.
But it's so small. Everything's so small, and you're living on
yeah.
top of everybody. It's just like.
That's only in the urban areas.
Yeah. I mean, they were living on top of, I literally was living on top. I had, like, one of the biggest houses on the hill, you know, but it was like, you know, you look out your window.
Well, that's because you're a giant and you tower over them. I mean, you had to have a large house. Your ceiling is probably higher.
Actually, I wasn't a giant. I was, like, right on par with the Japanese women. I was, like, going to the store.
No, I know. You're a little thing.
And they would fit. I was like, everything fits. This is wonderful. Everything's wonderful here.
Look at this kimono. It fits perfectly.
Yeah. And some things was like, I felt like, wow, I must, you know, like when I had bought a bikini there and I was like, put the top on, I'm like, man, I must be like the biggest titted woman ever because I think she is like tight. They have
no
feet.
Do you see like a bukkake going on all over, like on street corners and stuff like that?
No, but everywhere seems to have a massive red light district. And the like the hoes, the prostitutes, they would go massage, which means hey,
massage.
Want to come upstairs?
Christy, did you ever get a lesbian Japanese massage?
No, but I did have a lesbian experience there.
Ah.
I was outside my house. I lived
right outside
at,
your house on
you know,
the steps.
Yeah, okay. My house is basically, you got to go up the hill, and the hill has steps and stuff and a little rail, and then I'm at the plateau, carries on further up to the top, tippy top.
If this story doesn't end in an orgasm, I'm going to be very disappointed.
No, this particular night I was, you know, smoking a cigarette, and everybody in Japan gets drunk. And when I say everybody, I mean grandpas, kids, you know, the dog, everybody gets drunk. And this particular night, this elderly Japanese woman is drunk as fuck. So I help her up.
Old lady?
Ugh. Old lady.
This is
yes.
gross. This story sucks.
Old lady.
Can you embellish it a bit and say it was like a hot Japanese model?
Yeah, go for that.
I mean, she wasn't an ugly old lady. She wasn't, like, super wrinkled. She probably was hot when she was younger, but she was elderly. Anyway.
I'm putting my pants back on. This story sucks.
She gets to the top of the hill, and she says something to me, and I'm like, I don't understand Japanese. And then she kisses me dead on her lie. And I carry her up to the steps, and she hands me $50 at the top.
Did she insert a finger into you or anything?
No, but she showed me her dog. It was a little shih tzu.
Is that a metaphor?
No.
I really am putting my pants back on. This is the worst story.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that was
What a disappointment, Nick. We know you didn't have pants on to begin with.
I know.
You're around children.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop Max from licking my dick from peanut butter.
So the other piece that I wanted to get to is there's a couple of things, but we'll start with. We'll start with this argument that I got into on Facebook that I want to bring here and see what you guys have to say. There's this sentiment that I keep hearing that I find really full of shit and bullshit, and that's, I'm sure you guys have heard it before, is that everybody's body is beautiful. It's like part of this like fat acceptance movement, and you know, like
I have a terribly flabby butt. I know it's not beautiful.
Like, that's just the thing. Like, I'm not proud of my stomach, but I love myself, and I'm happy with who I am. I'm never going to have a fucking six-pack, and I'm okay with it. Does that mean that
right.
my stomach is beautiful? No. No, it fucking doesn't. I wish it was better, but I don't give a shit.
Right.
And this one guy that I got into an argument with, tall, good-looking, super in-shape dude, bicycles, all this other shit, of course. Oh, everybody's body is beautiful. I look at his fucking wife. His wife is gorgeous. Everybody's body isn't beautiful.
So
otherwise, you wouldn't fucking...
A really nice fat bitch.
Exactly. You'd marry a fat bitch. I understand the sentiment behind it, which is like, you know, don't hate yourself. Accept who you are.
Right. I was
going
to say, you
want to
have
also,
good self-esteem, but that doesn't mean you're
right.
going to be blind to certain things either.
Well, Christy, what do you think? Because you're of the vagina crowd that's mostly the ones that are objectified and have the toughest time with body image. So what do you think about that statement? Everyone's body is beautiful.
Yes and no kind of thing. Like, don't hate yourself and stuff. But, no, not everybody's, like, front that's part of the stomach that goes over the pants, that's not pretty, you know. But don't make you, you know, don't cut away from your swagger or anything like that. Don't let, you know, your body image hold you back kind of thing, you know.
No, and I know plenty of big people that still know how to dress. I mean, look, if you're 300 pounds of lard and you dress well, like you dress, that doesn't, I mean, you can't hide 300 pounds. So I'm not saying you have to cover up everything. But you don't fucking, like, the picture that I posted, I was like, is this person beautiful? It was of like a 250, 300 pound woman who's wearing a pair of yoga pants that were bisecting her muffin top, okay?
Uh-huh.
Like, she had a roll above and beneath the waistband. And, of course, the fucking ass on the pants said Gold Digger on it. Now, is that a beautiful person? And everybody's like, oh, maybe she didn't have much to wear that day. And I'm like, fine. But if I keep seeing that bitch in the same fucking outfits with her 300-pound fucking gut hanging out, I don't find that beautiful, and I don't think it should be accepted. I feel, and maybe this is just you guys can tell me, maybe this is an antiquated concept, but I really feel like if you're going to go out in public, you should be presentable in some way. I get if you're out of clothes and you got to run out to get some shit, but there are people who walk out and flaunt their disgusting fucking fleshy bodies hanging out all over the place. In clothing that does not fit them, they should not be wearing it. I personally feel like if you respect the general populace, you're not going to go out looking like a fucking slob. Am I wrong?
Well, respect the populace? She's not respecting yourself. We're not, like, caring about yourself.
I was going to say, the problem with that is then how do you police whether somebody's just, you know, out of clothes that day or whether they're just trying
you
to
don't.
Be.
I mean, you don't police it at all. It's not anyone's job to police it. But, I mean, if you're friends with somebody who looks like a fat fucking slob, you know, you got to be like, hey, Joe, hey, Bill, hey, Lou, you look like a fat fucking slob.
Oh, what's it going to be Lou for?
He's just using that as an example, I'm sure.
No.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. You're right.
Well,
no, but actually, Lou is an example. I can give Lou as an example, because back when we met in the fucking 90s, Lou was like 800 pounds of pure Mexican grease and butter. And you know what? The kid still, the kid, he may have dressed like a metalhead, but he didn't dress poorly. Except for those fucking boots that your toes are popping out of.
You know why I can't get in on this conversation? Because no matter what I say, I end up looking like, oh, that's just a skinny bitch. You know, I can't.
No.
I can't win from Lou. Yeah. Like, I cannot talk about winning.
Just because you're a skinny bitch doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. You got a fat ass. You're allowed to talk.
Oh, yeah, really?
No. I mean, I may have a fat ass, but I had to work for it. But here's the thing. You know, anytime I weigh in on this conversation, and that is not, pun not intended, you know, I always, they, you know, immediately dismiss my input. It's like, oh, you don't have to talk. You just need to eat a sandwich, which to me is insulting. But, yes, I don't really chime in on this.
Yeah, but
because,
you know what the difference between other people and you is, Chrissy, is that it's insulting to you, but you don't take offense. It's not, you're not like, hey, fuck you. I'm not talking to you anymore because this is bothering me. No, it's like, hey, eat a sandwich. It's like, why is it okay to tell me to eat a sandwich, but I can't tell a fucking fat person to put down the ice cream cone?
Right. I can't tell you to, you know, stop people in your face, you know. Maybe you should eat a carrot. You know, I know.
And there, it's this whole thing, like, the argument on the other side of the conversation that I was having was absolutely wrapped up in this whole anti-bullying bullshit. This huge anti-bullying movement that's become a real liberal fucking talking point is, oh, you know, we have to stop bullying in schools. No, we really don't have to stop bullying in schools, because a certain amount of people fucking with you builds your fucking character. I'm sorry. We know that. We talked about that. It's not untoward to say that. However, like they're saying, oh, you know, fat shaming by posting. I Googled an image for obese person and a picture of this bitch in her fucking gold digger yoga pants with 8 different kinds of muffin top. There was blueberry, there was corn, there was fucking multigrain hanging over this bitch's waistband. And they're like, oh, that's fat shaming by doing that. You're shaming this. Look, first off, I just pulled it off of Google. I don't know who it is. I don't give a fuck who it is. And if that person really is confident enough to walk out of the house looking like that, then me posting her fat ass on Facebook isn't going to bother her.
Right.
I mean, shouldn't it be everyone else's personal responsibility to be okay with themselves?
Yes. Here. Yes. I mean, like you said, you know, this isn't a perfect world. You know, not everybody's perfect, you know, and everybody gets fucked with, regardless, you know, and it's how you deal with it that makes you who you are. Now, there's some extents where, you know, instances go above and beyond the normal bullying or hazing or talking shit or whatever you want to call it, where it's excessive and it needs to be dealt with. You know what I mean? When it's harming someone physically, or if it's going to the point where they're psychologically distressed over it, where they're in fear of their safety or whatnot, that's the problem.
Well, if it crosses the line to physical brutality, I mean, let's face it. When I was bullied, it wasn't within plain sight of a teacher.
No.
You know, like, this kind of shit doesn't happen where people can see it. You know, and let's face it, if somebody wants to get to you, they're going to get to you, no matter how many laws or prevention or fucking anti-bullying classes are in place. Like, it's not, you can crack down on catching somebody when somebody is caught doing it, but bullying is just like fucking farting and breathing. It's something that humans do. It's going to happen. You can play. It's like murder.
Life.
Like we're always going to have murderers in the universe. Like, it's always going to happen. The best way, and what our justice system is supposed to do, is prosecute the people when they do that as a deterrent. That's the basis for this, for what the justice system was started as. But we've gotten into this whole weird preventative mindset in this country, where we're trying desperately to stop people from doing shit before it happens. And the mentality needs to be, why don't we address why they're doing that? Why don't we make things
exactly.
better so they don't want to do stuff like that? Like, if you want to talk prevention, that's the way to go. You make the punishments harsh, and maybe you make it not so desirable to do that shit because you maybe make shit not suck as bad.
I mean, and you got to look at the underlying reasons. Bullies are bullies themselves. If, I mean, if you isolate them, see what is their actual problem, because a lot of times bullies are acting out. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
probably
I,
because their parents are beating the shit out of them.
Exactly. I get my ass beat at home. I want to be too. Because I feel weak at home.
Yeah, you know, you're getting you're powerless, and you're getting the shit beat out of you at home. So you go to school, and you're bigger and tougher than all these other kids, and you wanna be powerful because you have no power anywhere else. So what do you do? I mean, that's the mentality behind 99.9% of bullies.
And
right.
That's why I think that zero tolerance in school, you know, zero tolerance for guns, zero tolerance for bullies is bullshit. It's lazy. It's just saying, okay, you know, one kid, you know, is caught, you know, kid in first grade pulls the little girl tail. He's suspended for school for 2 weeks because that's bullying. You know what I mean?
Or he's expelled. He gets put into another school. He gets put into another school, and he does the same shit there, and he bounces from school to school, and he's got this terrible long record because nobody bothered to figure out that maybe it's the fucking home life that he needs to be pulled away from and not the school.
Right? It's zero tolerance is lazy. It's not helping. It's hurting.
You know what else is lazy? Lou's penis.
It's no good.
Wait, hold on.
That's why he has a dog instead of a child.
Lazy penis. Oh, Lou's gone, actually. Disappeared. We lost him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last topic I wanted to touch upon before we end the show is that you guys remember the incident with the bikers and the SUV in New York where they pulled the driver out and beat the shit out of him because he ran over one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, there was just an indictment. They indicted 11 of the bikers in that incident,
including
and one of the indicted was the undercover cop who was involved in it.
Right.
Nope. Well, he's not undercover anymore.
He's not incognito anymore. Hey-o.
No,
right.
He's not. I don't even know if he's going to be allowed to be a cop anymore. Like, if you get convicted of a crime like that.
Not. I can't see
him
saying
a rap for you?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he can't. I'm pretty sure he's not going to stay on after that.
Go on, Chris.
I say they get what they deserve. I mean, the court of public opinion, hopefully they get a fair trial, but we all know that something, they should get something over that. That was unacceptable. I don't want it to be another miscarriage of justice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is like you're, and this actually comes, it kind of comes back to something else that happened too. Is there's this movement on the internet to like publish the information of where George Zimmerman's parents live and stuff like that. They're trying to like, you know, spur people to I guess he's staying with his parents and they're locating him and all this other shit. And even Roseanne Barr tweeted this address on her Twitter, and she immediately deleted it. But the whole thing is, like, vigilante justice is great in theory, and it makes a hell of a movie, but that's what killed Trayvon Martin in the first place.
Right.
So it's kind of
exactly.
like publishing these people's information. As much as I'd love the idea of George Zimmerman being pulled out of his house and having a shit beat out of him, it's not
that's not morally right. It's not legal either, but it's also not morally. It completely defeats the purpose of what happened to that kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's not right.
And as far as vigilante
justice.